So the question is, how does it work that God allows Satan to do things? But he can't do things unless God allows. You see an example of that in Job chapter 1 and 2, where Satan accused Job to God, saying that Job is only faithful to you because you keep a hedge of protection around him. Remove the hedge, and he'll curse you to your face. And he accused him of that twice. And twice God said, okay, test him. See what happens. Now, Job was human just like anybody else. And he did manage to maintain his place with God until a certain point, and then it became too much for him. That was the point where Job still needed growth. The fact that Job had that happen is not a green light for us to say, okay, you can now react if you're being tested. Some people can use things like that in that manner, but it's not a green light for us. It's an indicator that Job's growth was not complete yet. How does this work? Sometimes we think to ourselves that things are accidents. The fall is like that. We think the fall was an accident sometimes. That's the way that pulpits often treat the fall. Like God created them perfect, Satan got into the garden as though he snuck in and tripped up Eve with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, used the prohibition, and Eve ate, and God didn't see this coming. And now he had a problem that he had to find a solution to, so he sent Christ to die for the sin. That's not how it works. Revelation 13:8 is one of the most important scriptures for us understanding not just the finished work, certainly the finished work, but all of time. It's vital for us understanding the plan of God. If we don't get this point about Revelation 13:8, we're really not going to understand much of anything. There it says, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. The slain Lamb was the structural foundation. That's what the original language points out. The word is katabolēs. Sometimes people think it's talking about from the point of the foundation, the Lamb was slain. That kind of doesn't make any sense if you think about it. The slain Lamb was the foundation. That's what the original language points out. It's talking about the laying down or throwing down of a foundation from throwing down katabole's structural foundation. So the Lamb was slain, and that was the structural foundation. The world is universe, actually. The word is cosmos. Often it's used for the world system, but also it's used for the universe. And so here it's talking about the universe, obviously, because there was no world system. The Lamb was the structural foundation for the universe. That includes space and time. Wherever you have space, you have time. Now, when God created, he created all of time. We tend to look at time as a series of moments, one coming after the other. One moment comes into existence, and as soon as it comes into existence, it passes out of existence, and the next moment comes into existence, and so on. That's how we look at it. That's not how it is. All moments of time exist simultaneously. That means they are all present right now. Every moment of the past, every moment of the future is present right now. When we look into the cosmos, an astronomer looks into the cosmos, he's not looking at today. That's one of the ironies. That when we look from our point in space, we also look from our point in time. We look to another point in space, we're looking to another point in time. Now, how far apart those are is anybody's guess in many ways. But we know that we can see all the way to the beginning of time because we see galaxies where stars are forming. Well, all the stars formed on the very fourth day. And so that first week of time saw all of creation take place. On the fourth day, it saw the stars being formed. We can see stars being formed. We know we're looking at the fourth day, not as it was, but as it is right now. Right now is the fourth day in that part of the universe. So you can look out into the universe, and although it's very difficult for us to identify what point in time we're looking at, we are looking at various points of time. Sometimes we get a clue. Stars being formed. There's a big clue. Now, what does that have to do with us? This shows us, in terms of physics, not only that all points of time exist simultaneously, but all points of time are, if you will, populated simultaneously. When God created the heavens and the earth, He created the full expanse. In creating the full expanse, He necessarily created all of time. For example, in Psalm 103:12, He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. What does that mean? That means He removes them from time, all of time. Because space and time, and scientists have completely accepted this notion, Einstein's the one who gave it to us, he has been proven to be correct. Because space and time are the same thing. They're two components of one phenomenon. And so where you have space, you necessarily have time. As a matter of fact, in physics, when you define what's called time dilation, in other words, the change of time that takes place with motion, that indicates that time is a function of velocity. And velocity requires space. Velocity is a component of space. If you look at the equations for velocity, space is involved. Right? You go down the highway 50 miles an hour. Space is involved. Miles is involved. And so where there's velocity, there is space. Time is a function of velocity, so time is also a function of space. So when He created the whole thing, He also created all of time. You can't separate the two. When He created it, that necessarily means He populated it. Time is marked by events. If the last day exists now, and it does, and the first day and every other day in between exists now, then everything that populates those days exists now. Now, how that plays into free volition is demonstrable, but that's not our point of this discussion. So the question is, how does it work that God allows Satan, but it takes God to allow him? Because God created all the events. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all things are from God. Now, the foundation of that, it gives in the second part of the verse. He's reconciled us to Himself. All things are from God. How can that be? Because when God created the universe, He created all of time. The Word of God tells us that He knows the end from the beginning. That means the end and the beginning are present simultaneously. The Word of God says He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So He is present in all of time as well as in all of space. Because of who God is and also where God is, He's capable of not just seeing all things and being present in all places. He's capable of seeing all points of time simultaneously and being present in all points of time simultaneously. We're relegated to the earth. We can't do that. But we're three-dimensional. God is not. And so God is in a place, if you will, where the whole thing is in front of Him. Time and space. There's no difference. And when He created it, He created all of it. Because the works were in fact finished. So He created all of it. This moment was created on the very first day, because it is the very first day. And we say to ourselves, how can that be? And it's because of the way time works. Don't think of time as a line being drawn. And it's how most people think of it. Think of it as a wave washing up on a shore. That's how it works. The whole thing comes into existence simultaneously. The fact that we are living 6,100 some odd years, almost 6,200 years, past creation in our perspective does not mean that that first day doesn't exist. It does mean that year one and year 6,000, whatever it is, 200 almost, exist at the same time. The last day exists now. It all exists now. Everything that is time exists now. Now at the end, God will destroy this universe. The heaven and the earth will pass away, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And that necessarily means that time as it is going to also pass away, and God will create new time. Now, how does this work in regard to the enemy? The enemy is created. When was heaven and God's angels created? Heaven was created on the first day. The angels were created on the first day. That is necessarily so. When it says God created the heavens and the earth, heavens is plural. He created what's called all three heavens. And theologians understand, and all of them, the major ones, acknowledge that there are three heavens. One of them is what we call the Earth's atmosphere, the first heaven. The second one is what we call space, universe, the second heaven. And the third heaven is the abode, the home of God, the home of redeemed souls. When we go to heaven when we die, we go to the third heaven from the first heaven. So death really is nothing more than an address change. That third heaven was created on the first day in the same event that created the first two heavens. They were created simultaneously. So God's abode was created on the first day. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 4, the kingdoms were separated on that first day. When God separated the light from the darkness, it's not talking about light and it's not talking about energy. It's talking about kingdoms. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness were separated on the first day in Genesis 1:4. Presumably somewhere in the latter part of the day, not in the earlier part. But we don't know exactly. What we do know is that's where the kingdoms were separated. That gives people a lot of trouble in some cases. Because they say to themselves, how can you have such a history in heaven and yet still have it be one day? That doesn't make any sense to us. And the reason is because a lack of understanding of time. Time passes differently at all points. So much so that your feet are younger than your head. And that has to do with gravitational effects on time. And so, at all points of the universe, literally at every single atom, time passes a little differently. Now, in our case, the differences are so small we can't notice them. You can measure them, though. But you don't feel them. You don't notice them. But once you get to high velocities, they become extremely noticeable. What's the point of that? The point is that in heaven, you could have had centuries pass within that first day. 2 Peter 3:8 tells us how that is. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So relativity is built into creation. Einstein was simply recognizing what creation was about in the time component, and he recognized it correctly. Now, on that first day, all of time was created along with heaven. The events of heaven transpired, but it was all created by God. And because all of time was populated as it was created, that necessarily means that everyone who appears in time, whether they're humans or whether they are angels, if it is created, then it was created with both purpose, intentionally, and with outcome. So, Lucifer was created intentionally. Lucifer's fall, when he became Satan, in Ezekiel 28 and in Isaiah 14, those were not accidents. God knew exactly what would happen. Yes, his volition was involved, just like our volition is involved in the things we choose. But they were not accidents. God had ordained everything, and God also works around or with the choices that we make. God uses those. God used Lucifer for his own purpose. He created him, he used him. People may say, well, that's kind of unkind. You used him, he was going to go to hell, and you used him. You don't understand creation. We are his workmanship. We're pots. He's the potter. The potter creates a pot for whatever need he has. Lucifer was nothing more than a pot. So don't feel bad for the pot. He didn't have to become the pot. He chose to. But God knew what would happen. The whole process of redemption, which was there for the sake of revealing the love of God, was established on that very first day, before the very first day. It was established within the foundation of the universe. Remember, Ephesians 1:4 says we were chosen prior to the foundation of the world. The next event recorded was the slain lamb. The next event recorded was Genesis 1:1. The next event recorded was the fall and the separation of kingdoms. Then after that, we had the second day. So how is it that this works? It was planned. That's how it works. It was planned. all points of time exist simultaneously. They're out in front of God, just like it was a table, and God is arranging things on the table. It was planned. Our experience is to walk through our portion of time. That's like saying we were put on a table and we have enough life in us to walk through a portion of the table, not enough to get us to the end. But it's all on the table, including what Lucifer does, including what we do, including what every living individual, whether human or angel, or for that matter, animal, what all of them do, it's all on the table. There are no accidents. So how does it work that Lucifer can do things? God has a purpose in mind, and he knows the tool to use to fulfill the purpose. When Satan is allowed to do things, he's a tool. That's all. He's nothing more than a screwdriver. And God will use him to the point of God's purpose and not one iota farther. Only to the point of his purpose. So he can't do anything that God won't allow because he's created. We can't do anything God will not allow because we're created. Have you ever been in a car and something happens and you say, wow, God just took care of me? I think most people have. Well, you know what? That's right. Nothing can happen that God did not purpose. And if God didn't purpose it, it's not going to happen. God did not purpose for Job to be killed by Satan. God did purpose that Job be a testimony not to people so much at first, although now it is, but at first that he be a testimony to angels. So Satan was allowed to be used as a tool only to the extent that it fulfilled God's purpose, not any farther. Satan will be allowed to test us. Is it Satan? Yes. Was there a purpose? Yes. Did Satan have the final say? Never. He wants to have the final say, but he's created. It's literally not possible for him to have the final say. Look at the things that are going on today. People are losing their minds. The world is going insane. Even the unsaved recognize that the world is going insane. They look at the events that are taking place. Men becoming women. Are you serious? I love the response of those two former NBA players. That was hysterical. They're saying, we're going to declare our eligibility next year for the women's NBA. To counter this trans thing. That's hysterical. Now clearly they're saying, hey, this is ludicrous. It is ludicrous, except that people's minds have gotten so corrupted or so fearful that they're afraid to stand against the ludicrous. The emperor has no clothes was almost a prophecy. Because nowadays, if you say the emperor has no clothes, man, you're going to get it. You know what? The emperor has no clothes. Men cannot become women. Literally a biological impossibility and normalizing mental distortions is not healthy for society. And it doesn't make it so just because you feel like it. That is a corrupt mind. Who is it that corrupts the mind? Satan. Satan corrupts the mind. Same is true with the socialist movement today. That's a corrupted form of thinking. You give to me. Socialism is like the bank robber saying, give me all your money, I'm entitled. And all of a sudden, the teller becomes afraid of what everybody's going to say, that the socialist is going to make a whole lot of noise about the teller, and the ungodly media is all going to publish this, and so the teller goes along with it. Oh, of course. You poor little you. It's like that British professor who was hailed as being the best there ever was, or whatever, the best in the world. And it turns out the guy's a total fraud, and it turns out he was plagiarizing when he was in university. And, well, you know what he blamed it on? He said, I didn't have enough oversight. And so I plagiarized. It was the lack of oversight that caused it. This is corrupted thinking. But people are so afraid that somebody's going to say, oh, you're not sensitive, that they'll go with the dumbest, warpest, most perverse idea they can come up with. Why is this allowed? Did you ever notice this? Even unbelievers are seeing this and they're kind of shaking their heads and saying, what in the world is going on here? Satan's going on here. Now, get this. Why? Well, those people who have an understanding of the end times, and a lot of people do, will recognize that God is preparing the world for the end times. But what's going on there? Why is it getting so crazy? And really, for that matter, why is the end times, and by end times we mean the period after the rapture, we're in the end times and the beginning of sorrows, but we're not at the very end. Why is the world going so crazy? If the scholars are right, that's a big fat if, but I think they are, and that's just my opinion. I can be completely wrong on this. Nobody knows the date of Christ's return, but Christ did give some clues as to the proximity of the time. And one of the big clues was that he was speaking to the Israelites. He said, this generation, and he was talking about the people that saw the events that he was foretelling, this generation will not pass until these things have taken place. And he describes all the way to his return to establish his kingdom. Scholars, many of them, agree he's talking about the generation that returned to Israel in 1948. If they are correct, and the maximum value for the word generation is 100 years, if the scholars are right, and I personally believe they are, then that means 2048. Now, nobody knows when that'll happen, and we don't know that that date is written hard and in stone, because no one knows. Not me, not the scholars. But if they are right in the way they're interpreting things, then consider something. 2048 is 22 years from now. At the end of the millennium, there'll be a period of time when Satan is released. At the end of the tribulation, the closing events are that Satan and the demons are bound in hell for the duration almost of the millennial reign. At the end of the millennium, they will be released for another 3.5 years. If the scholars are correct, then that means that Satan has something under 26 years left to function on earth in human history. He's at the end, and he knows it. So he's going to go ballistic. He's only got, again, and I have to emphasize it, if they are right, they could be wrong. He's only got 26 years, at most, maybe less. No wonder he's nuts. No wonder he's nuts. No wonder the world is going crazy. Satan knows his time is short. What you're seeing and what you're asking, why is it, how does it work? Well, he understands how that works. He understands that time is not what we think it is. And he also understands that his foregone conclusion of ending up in hell, being released for 3.5 more years only, and then ending up in the lake of fire, it's reaching its completion. Remember when Jesus went, they cast out the demons and they went into the pigs? What did the demons say to him? It's not our time yet. It's almost their time. Maybe, again, if the scholars are right, maybe 26 years in that ballpark, maybe less. Now, if the scholars are wrong, all bets are off. But I don't think they are. And the reason I don't think they are is first because what Jesus described and what the other parts of the Bible describe as being signs of this day. And then second, because of what you see happening. It's all falling into place. Satan is there to be a tool for God and nothing more. So right now he's preparing the world for what God said would happen, because in God's justice, he will allow the world to do what it will, just like he did in Genesis 6, before he judges them. He will allow reason to be judged. Just like he did with the nations that Israel defeated, he did allow for them to have reason to be judged. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, he did allow for reason to be judged. He's allowing it again, and this is part of the purpose. The outcome will be that Israel is reestablished as the major force, major nation in the world. Jesus comes down, establishes his throne on the earth, in person for 1,000 years. The devil is bound, the demons are bound. And the new dispensation comes in. It's all for God's purpose. And it can happen because every point of time exists simultaneously and was created in the first moment. You guys understand that?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."